January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! Well, I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on another prime number one grade A beautiful day here in Central Florida. Once again, thanks for being out there. You're listening to us as we come to you live on FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. Of course, you can also listen to us on your Alexa devices, AM660TheAnswer.com. And, of course, you can still download the free and it's still Answer Orlando app. Okay, got a big show lined up for you again tonight, and got some of the home run hitters in the studio tonight. And of course, I'm talking about the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, and that of course would be Colonel Danny McKnight. Always great to see you, Colonel.
Happy to be here. It's just sort of strange sitting on this side of the room, though. I'm usually on the other side by you, and but I understand Mike's out gallivanting around again.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is. Once again, Mike McBath is in Las Vegas town with the NFL players' meetings. Last week was the current players' meetings. This week is the retired players' meetings. They had a couple of days together when all the players were there. But this week it is the retired players' meetings going on through the week, and then he'll be back on the show with us next week, I'm sure, to regale us with some of the highlights and maybe lowlights of his trip out there.
Yeah, there's probably some of both. You're right.
Yeah, and he's going to try to hook up with his old buddy OJ and see how he's doing, and make sure he gets his this physical. You know that they got that big settlement for. For brain injuries. All right, speaking of brain injuries, I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. A lot of people think I'm brain injured, but who knows? Anyways, we got Nick LoCicero on the bridge, and of course, we are coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios, where you can call us at 407-774-8255. Okay, Nostra Dennis is going to join us a little bit later on in the show, and at the bottom of this hour, we're going to try again with Sheriff David Clark. So we're going to hook up with him today and speak with him about a number of issues, including the Parkland and the circumstances around that. Evidently, there's another kid out there they've just found that for over a year now he's been... So not, you can't really say flying under the radar because they've picked him up. They just don't pick him up after they pick him up. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They pick him up on the screen, so to speak, but they don't pick him up physically speaking. So we're going to talk about that with the sheriff. Real quick, though, I want to congratulate Brian Nelson, the new mayor of Apopka. And he was Orange County commissioner, but now he's taken the new role. And that is mayor of Apopka. He won resoundingly last night. There will be two runoffs in the city council seats. So those are still open. And that runoff will be held on April 10th. And we'll update you on that as we go. But it was a nice turnout yesterday. And once again, congratulations to the new mayor of Apopka, Brian Nelson. And of course, we had the election in Pennsylvania, and the results officially still aren't in. It appears, though, that the Democrat won by the hair on his chinny chin chin. And he, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later on when Nostra Dennis is on the show, but he pretty much ran and won on Trump's agenda. It was fascinating because he claims to be pro-life. He's big time pro-Second Amendment. Doesn't think that there need to, this is what he was saying during the campaign anyway. Don't know until he, you know, acts on it. But doesn't think that we need any more in the way of gun legislation. That he thought the tax cuts are fantastic. He likes the tariffs. He is adamantly pro-union, though. And, of course, that's a very union district in there, coal and steel.
Yep.
And, of course, Trump gave the Republican, Saccone, a couple of boosts, if you will, with the tariffs. Once again, steel industry there. They're going to benefit from that. And then when he went out with that rally the other day, and the polls were showing this nowhere near this close. I mean, it literally is neck and neck. It was 49.8 to 49.6, a difference of about 700 votes. And they are waiting for the rest of the absentee ballots to come in, give them enough time to come in, and then military ballots. And evidently there was more than 700, so they've got to count those to make it official. But unless they are really lopsided in the way of Saccone, the Democrat, once again, is going to win and by a handful of votes. And Dennis will bring us some of the numbers when he comes in.
Who was there before?
It was a fella that had to resign because it was a sex scandal he got caught up in. He was one of the members of the House.
Okay. Yep.
They got caught up in that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he was a Republican, but he was a pro-union Republican. And Saccone, the Republican in this race, was not. And if anything, I think that's what made the difference right there.
And so then the Democrat went.
Especially when a Democrat is talking Trump language, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's speaking Trumplican. And then you throw that in. But Trump going there and rallying for Saccone was able to make it a neck-and-neck race where it wasn't appearing to be that in the polls, if you in any way trust the polls.
Well, see, that's the reason I quite often say it doesn't really matter that much to me when I meet people, whether they're Republican or Democrat. It's what they think.
Indeed.
And what you have just described is exactly that. The guy is saying the things that, and hopefully he's not just saying them, he's going to follow up with
right.
the things that President Trump's doing. So that's the reason I always say it doesn't matter a whole lot to me when I meet somebody. It's when I meet them and figure out which side they're on. That's all I focus on, and I think that's what we should do, really.
Yeah, indeed. So we'll talk a little bit more about that election later on in the show, and Dennis is here with the numbers, and you know, we'll sort of analyze what it means or more importantly, what it doesn't mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a whole lot more than it does mean. So we'll take that on later on. The other big news of the day, and once again, it's very fortuitous, or I like to call it divine intervention, that Colonel McKnight's with us here today. You know, I anticipated talking with him a lot about North Korea, and we will. But this situation with Russia, because the U.K., has expelled, I think it's 23 Russian, they call them diplomats. They're more likely spies, but are expelling them. They're also imposing other regulations. And this is because of the poisoning in London.
Of those two people.
Yeah, yep. Of the father and daughter.
Yep.
And then I believe there was another one. I thought I heard that there was another one. Now, they're still alive. They're probably going to pull out of it, but it's very unpleasant, obviously. And but I believe there was another one who actually had died since them. And that's what sent her over the edge is, okay, that's it. And Trump has said today he hadn't spoken earlier. He hadn't spoken with Theresa May, but he will. And if they have the goods on Russia, then we'll, at least support them and not necessarily follow on suit, but certainly put Russia on notice. But it does appear, and by the way, I believe even Putin has admitted that it came, or he hasn't admitted that it came from Russia, but it could have, but it wasn't from a state agency, right? It's like the thing with the election stuff, right?
Right.
And according to the Brits, they have traced it directly back to Russia. How they did that, I don't know. The forensics somehow is evidently of value, but the point being, this is setting something off over there. So, to get back to you and your expertise, if push comes to shove over there, and I don't think we're looking at a ground war over there or anything, but he might try to do something else in the Ukraine or something like that. Now, with General Mattis as Secretary of Defense, what would be your thoughts if something were to happen over there, how Mattis might react to it?
Well, that's very interesting because I was talking to some people yesterday, I guess it was, and we were talking about, the Rex Tillerson thing,
right.
And everything. And I said, yeah. I said, but the best thing that our president has done and has stuck with is the Secretary of Defense, because that's the guy that's really going to make a difference. It's not going to be somebody like we've had in the past with the other president before, with Obama,
right.
And having, Les Aspin and people like that.
Right,
so,
Sleepy Aspin,
so
yeah.
We've got the right guy.
Right.
And I think General Mattis will be the one that President Trump totally relies on to say, this is what I think we need to do to show our force, to show our strength, and not let Russia start pushing us around, because that's what they're doing right now, and they really are. But where are they going to do it? I don't think they're going to come after us. I don't think Putin is that crazy.
But
he's going to do something over there. I agree with
Ukraine
you.
Or yep, Syria, possibly.
Exactly, somewhere over there.
Right.
I mean, look what they've been doing in Syria already.
Right.
But I think there'll be somewhere else, and it may be the Ukraine. It's going to be somewhere else over there. I think he's just starting to show his strength now, because you got the North Korean guy showing his strength. And I think it's very interesting right now. You got three major players, our president, Putin,
and Kim Jong-un,
the Rocket Man.
Little Rocket Man.
Those are the three main players right now, if you think about what could happen, And so I think the first thing, that President Trump's decision to try and make some headway with North Korea, I think that's a tremendous move, I really do.
Right.
And then with Putin, Putin's pushing the button a little bit right now, like you've said. And I think our president can handle it. I really do, because he's got General Mattis, and that makes a big difference.
And you mentioned Tillerson, of course, is gone, and
yep.
Pompeo.
Yes.
Now, Pompeo himself is no slouch, right?
Right, exactly.
Graduated first in his class at West Point,
exactly.
Harvard Law, and now head of the CIA. So he comes with not only the, shall we say, the leadership skills, but now the knowledge to go along with it, because head of the CIA.
That's right.
And he's meeting with the president for over a year now, every day of the week, when the president's in Washington, D.C., and sometimes even when he's not, to give him personally the daily briefings.
Yeah, I thought that was a great. I thought when he became the
CIA director,
that was good. And now that he is, taking over Tillerson's position, I think it's a good move.
Well, what really kind of signal do you think that sends, though, to like Putin and the rest of the world? Because now you're talking two army generals, two bad you know whats, right?
That's right. And that's the reason I say I think Putin is just pushing the buttons a little bit. I don't think that he would dare push the wrong button to push President Trump
right
to take action. I really don't.
Right. Obviously, though, he wants to silence some people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got his own Deadpool going, rivaling that of the Clintons. But he's got his own particular way of doing it, these poisonings. But it you know, once again, it is something that it we'll see where it goes from here. Because now the ball's back in Putin's court. Because Theresa May responded
yes.
with, rejecting these 23 spies and imposing sanctions and locking up bank accounts and stuff like that.
And when I heard her speak it the other day, when
right.
she stepped up there and did that, I thought,
right.
okay, she needs to be given a lot of credit, too. She
yeah,
really does.
A little bit of old Maggie Thatcher in there.
Exactly, exactly.
You know?
That's what you're related to, I agree.
Yeah. yeah, and if you remember, Maggie and it was Ronald Reagan and then George W. Yeah. Bush mm-hmm. changed the world.
Yes.
Well, with the help of Lech Walesa
yeah.
and Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? You talk about three big players
That's
back
right.
then, right?
Yep. Yep.
And then Lech Walesa, you know, too. So, yeah, certainly these situations are not over. You know, there's more to this story yet to come.
Well, when I look
and
at those
we'll
three,
see where it goes.
The three we're talking about, of course, President Trump, Putin, and North Korea, I think all three of them, and you look at it right now, they're all three very powerful, very powerful.
Yeah.
And maybe the most powerful three around. I mean, I look at anybody else, and I don't see anybody else that would stand up to that. So I think President Trump's the in-between guy. And I think he's going to have a lot of impact on both of them.
Uh-huh.
And I hope the North Korea meeting goes through. I believe it should, and I believe it's necessary, and I believe our president made the right move on that.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. And we'll move through that and come back on the other side with more from Colonel Danny McKnight. And don't forget, he's the author of this excellent book on leadership and political incorrectness. And that's it's called Streets of Mogadishu. You can get it as his website, which is DannyMcKnight.com. So please don't go away. And we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show from the Relax and Comfort Studios.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, DinoRentosStudios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
Your I-4 slowdown started in Longwood and they continue westbound to pass downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area, and you also have slowdowns in the Dr. Phillips area. Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to the 441. 408 westbound is congested until right before Pine Hills. 408 eastbound is congested only in the Azalea Park area, but the ramps leading to it are congested. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. If you've been searching for the truth and nothing but the truth, you have found the American Adversaries. That's what we strive for every day. Thanks again for tuning in. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, I have Colonel Danny McKnight in the studio with me today. Got a couple more minutes in this segment of the show. So, and the situation with North Korea, it is a bold move by the president. It is something that no other president probably even dawned on them that would. I guess maybe Obama might have fantasized about it, but Trump is certainly no stranger to sitting across the negotiating table with a lot of different people, and a lot of people think that Kim Jong-un, and I say a lot of people, and the liberals in the media primarily and Democrats think that Kim Jong-un is taking advantage of Trump. And that he's already gotten a great concession, the simple fact that Trump would accept such an invitation, and that they're worried that Kim Jong-un is going to, for lack of a better word, out-negotiate him. Your thoughts?
The chances of Kim Jong-un outdoing Donald Trump in any form or fashion is slim and none. I really mean, and because he didn't really bring President Trump into this thing. President Trump has chosen to do it. Think about the things he said about with the missiles and all that stuff that were being done and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, from the very beginning, he got into North Korea's little
mind.
Right. Exactly. And so there's no way that it's going to be a problem for President Trump to deal with that.
Right. Yeah. We did a contest last week with people coming up with new phrases and new words that we could use to kind of, counteract the way the liberals misuse language. And a fella called in and he came up with the Trump effect. And what you just described is the Trump effect, that simply Trump being a part of the equation now and being tough on North Korea, he's the one who has butted into this situation.
He has, exactly.
And put himself right in the middle of things, and you see, and this little invitation by Un was, he had to do something. He had to do something, and this was probably the least, shall we say, distasteful thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Because Trump was pushing him and pushing China. And actually really putting the squeeze on the little, guy, little rocket man. And so, you're absolutely right. That's the Trump effect.
Yes. And you think about it with the Olympics, the way that went down. Everything went fine, didn't it?
Yeah.
And everybody was so concerned that, because of what President Trump had sort of chastised Un and everything, that something happened. I guess President Trump knew exactly what he was doing there, too, because he got his attention and nothing happened.
Right.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. And what Kim Jong-un showed is that he desperately wants to be a part of the action. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the president's got a great deal of leverage with the little rocket man. It ain't the other way around.
That's the way I feel about it, too. Absolutely. And President Trump's got the right people
in the right
to
place.
Help that happen.
Exactly.
Like you said.
All right, we'll take a break and come right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Please be with us.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House is warning against reading too much into the razor-thin outcome of a congressional race in a Pennsylvania district President Trump carried by double digits in 2016. White House spokesman Raj Shah says Mr. Trump's campaigning for Rick Saccone turned what was a deficit for the Republican candidate to what is essentially a tie. Shah also says Democrat Connor Lamb really embraced the president's policies and his vision. Students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida gathered on a campus football field outside their school to share a group hug and lobby for gun control. The walkout was echoed across the nation by other students Wednesday, 1 month to the day after a former student wielding an AR-15 assault-style rifle opened fire, killing 17 people at Stoneman Douglas. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 249 points, the NASDAQ dropped 20, the S&P lower by 16. More details at srnnews.com.
News
and the latest answer traffic now.
Students all across Central Florida and the nation participated in a walkout in solidarity with students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, marking 1 month since the tragedy and raising awareness to gun control issues. The walkout happened at 10 this morning. There were a few students who did not participate in the walkout, not because they didn't believe that it was a big deal, but because they didn't want to be around large crowds, which shows how concerned everybody is. The trial of the Pulse shooter's wife started with opening statements earlier today. She's charged with aiding and abetting her husband in the Pulse massacre. Feds are arguing that she gave the shooter his cover story. After opening statements, the government will begin to call witnesses. We have a high of 70, a low of 44, and beautiful. Your AccuWeather details are in just a moment. And it's Pi Day, so happy 3.14592653 Day. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Springtime is here. That means it's time for the 34th Annual All-British Car Show. Join the Central Florida British Car Club Friday, April 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Fiddler's Green in beautiful Winter Park for a pre-show meet and greet. And on Saturday, April 7th at 9 a.m. in Mead Gardens in Winter Park for the car show and judging. Along with up to 200 British cars, there will be specialty vendors, raffles, silent auction, and valve cover racing. Four Rivers, Jeremiah's, and Tijuana Flats will be there, and admission is free. It's fun for the whole family. So experience a day of British automotive history in picturesque Mead Gardens, April 7th. For more information, email info@allbritishcarclub.com. That's info@allbritishcarclub.com. A member of the British American Chamber of Commerce.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Your I-4 slowdown start in Longwood and they continue westbound to pass downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area, and you also have slowdowns in the Dr. Phillips area. Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport to the 441. 408 westbound is congested until right before Pine Hills. 408 eastbound is congested only in the Azalea Park area, but the ramps leading to it are congested. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
And you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna booty.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for tuning in to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We're trying to get Sheriff Clark on the line. In the meantime, I got Colonel Danny McKnight in the studio along with myself, Christopher Hart. And once again, you can get the Colonel's excellent book, Streets of Mogadishu, at his website, DannyMcKnight.com. That's DannyMcKnight.com. Okay, so we do have our guest on the line right now, and of course he needs no introduction, but of course the great sheriff of Milwaukee County, and he's now currently the senior advisor and spokesman for America First Action. I'd like to welcome back to the show Sheriff David Clark. Sheriff, thanks again for being with us today.
Chris, it's my pleasure.
Well, we appreciate it. I got Colonel Danny McKnight in the studio with me today. He's written the book Streets of Mogadishu about his experiences in Mogadishu 1993 and what we know as Black Hawk Down. So I'd just like you guys to say hello to each other, if you would, real quick.
Hey, Sheriff, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for your service to our country.
Hey, my pleasure. If I hadn't got so old, I would have stayed longer.
Yeah, time does that to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, you're well known by me. I have great great respect and regards for you, so thank you for what you're doing.
I appreciate it. I'm humbled by that.
Sheriff Clark, let me start with this morning. We had this walkout all around the country by these students demanding more action on guns. Of course, we know that wasn't the real problem here. But is it a problem in terms of the messaging? Is the truth being lost in this, what I'll call grandstanding, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you know, you got to appreciate the exuberance of these young people, but at the same time, you know, they need guidance. They need adult guidance, and they're not getting it here. What I don't know what walking out of class does other than symbolism. It's just pure symbolism. It doesn't do anything to move the needle. It does nothing to influence public policy. And anytime you tell some kid in high school or grade school that they can get out of class, they're going to take advantage of it. And that's really probably all that was going through their mind at the time.
Sheriff, you were a sheriff when Barack Obama was president, and they came out with this promise program, which evidently had a lot to do with the shooter in Parkland not being locked up or something being done prior to him committing this heinous act. But had you been exposed to that? Had anybody approached you with this promise program business when you were sheriff?
Yeah, and I resisted all that nonsense. You know, I'm well aware of it. This is nothing more than social engineering. These inane ideas are created in these ivory towers at colleges and universities by professors and elites, if you will, that have no idea what life is like at ground level in some of these neighborhoods where discipline needs to reign supreme. And so they come up with this, and then they throw it on the police and say, here, go experiment with this and, you know, let us know how it works out. Most of this stuff usually backfires. I've seen it. I was in law enforcement for nearly 40 years, and we know what works at ground level. The law enforcement officer who's on a beat knows what works, but they don't listen to them anymore because, according to these elites in these colleges and universities and these ivory towers, you know, they're smarter than the rest of us. So, you know, I resisted this for more traditional things that work. Punishment has a rightful place in corrections, and that doesn't mean draconian punishment, but it means sending a message to a would-be lawbreaker that that type of behavior is not going to be tolerated and that there'll be consequences. So instead, they have this crazy idea of going soft. That's why I call it, you know, these soft-on-crime initiatives. And they think that if you're just nice to people and you just pat Johnny on the head and tell him not to do it again, that'll be enough for Johnny to change his ways. But the problem is that Johnny's in an environment where he's not getting that thing, that sort of discipline that I got at home from my father. My father was my first authority figure. He demanded discipline for me, and he made it clear that when he wasn't around, and let's say I was at school, then he made it clear the teacher was the authority figure. If I'm out playing in the neighborhood and he's not around, the adult neighbor was the authority figure. He taught me respect. He demanded respect. See, these kids don't grow up with that sort of guidance, if you will. And because of it, you know, a lot of them are just wandering around and they're engaging in behavior, unwanted behavior. And no one's telling them that society's not going to put up with that crap until it's too late. And you see what happened, you know, in Parkland there at the Douglas School. You saw it at Virginia Tech. You saw it in other places where, you know, young people, Columbine, for instance, Sandy Hook, never learned early on that there's consequences to certain behaviors. So I always pushed back against that nonsense. The president knew better. His kids weren't attending those sorts of schools. And but he, you know, he and others thought that this was okay for somebody else's kids. Well, it's not.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Sheriff David Clark, senior advisor and spokesman for America First Action. Sheriff, since the shooting here, the Florida legislature did pass a law that included raising the age limit. I'm sure you're familiar with the law. It also has in it this Marshall program. So, first of all, just if you would, your impressions of what the Florida legislature and the governor did, and in more in particular, your feelings about the Marshall program and arming teachers or school officials to be there as backup, if you will, for the police and deputies who are already in schools.
let's unpack that for a little bit. First of all, as far as what the Florida legislature did, and you know what the people, the good people in Florida want to do is their business. I think a lot of this stuff should be sorted out at the local level. They don't need any national handouts, but orders from Washington, mandates is the word I was looking for,
right,
as to how they should act at the local level, because a one-size-fits-all doesn't work. I think many of the changes that the Florida legislature made were symbolic. They were technical fixes. This didn't have anything to do with the age of the individual. It had nothing to do with the gun. It's kind of funny that we let people vote, which is a very important responsibility. So we let them vote at 18. We let them join the military at 18, another serious responsibility. We won't let them drink alcohol until they're 21. And yeah. So now we say, well, you know, let's just raise the age. And it's an arbitrary age. Who knows if it's 21? Some kids are mature at 18. Some kids aren't mature until they're 25. And that's why I say a one-size-fits-all or technical fix is really a swing and a miss in this situation. But there was this call, and they yielded to it, to do something. Whenever I hear people say, we have to do something, we have to do something, I stop them and I say, no, you're wrong. We may have to do something meaningful. That might make sense. But sometimes, you know what the best thing to do after you sift through everything and realize that this was an anomaly, and they are, sometimes the best thing to do is nothing at all. So what the Florida legislature did is they didn't prevent the next school shooting. What they did was they punished law-abiding people.
And how do you feel, though, about the Marshall program, allowing teachers and school administrators to, if they're properly trained, and it does lay out some requirements for that aspect of it?
Sure. You know, there's some merit there. Many of these teachers have a CC. I shouldn't say many. Some of these teachers have concealed carry permits anyway. They're proficient with a firearm. Some of them were in the military and have handled firearms. And if they feel comfortable enough with training, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with school districts. And I think that's, again, why I think this should be decided at the local level, at the school district level, or at the state level. If they want to hire armed security, professionally trained, or law enforcement officers, any of the above, I'm okay with that. I don't know why. You know, I suggested that. The ironic thing is I suggested that after Sandy Hook. I said every school district should take a look and have the discussion about putting, I said armed security. I didn't say teachers, but that's okay. Armed security, these are precious assets. We say they are, and yet we guard our airports with more security. We guard money at banks with more security than we do these precious assets called our students. So I suggested that after Sandy Hook, and guys, I was eviscerated by the anti-gun movement as some kind of kook. What do you mean putting armed security or law enforcement officers in schools? What's the matter with you? Well, it made sense at the time, and had states moved on this back then, maybe some of these other school incidents could have been avoided. But look, you know, let's not kid ourselves. We will never prevent the next school shooting from happening again. When you go into it with a mindset that you can prevent the next one from happening again, you're destined to fail, and you're setting yourself up for failure. What we should do is we should do some target hardening. We should look at some of the things like armed security or arming teachers, so on and so forth. There's nothing wrong with doing that sort of thing. But what you want to do is you want to reduce the carnage if some goof comes along and tries to pull this again. So instead of killing 17 and leaving another 10, 15, or 20 injured, maybe he comes in, fires some shots. You know, maybe he hits a person or two, but then there's somebody there that can counter that early on in the shooting. He can't just, you know, walk up and down hallways,
right,
spraying the place with bullets. So, you know, those are the things I suggested, and all of a sudden I was a kook, but now everybody says, hey, maybe this has some merit. It's just too bad that it took too long for people to come to their senses.
And for a Parkland shooting. And the colonel here, he's been consulted. You've gone to, what, three schools now?
I've been with three schools here where I live in Central Florida in Brevard County. And, of course, our sheriff, Wayne Ivey. I'm sure you know who Wayne is and everything. I think we're trying to do the right thing. And everything you've said is exactly what I'm sort of preaching to these people when they ask me, what do we need to do? And it's not to they get so upset when they say, well, we don't know about having guns in the school. I said, well, guess what? The bad guy's going to have the gun, and you're not going to have anything. And so I'm working really hard with them to do exactly the things you've said. Harden the school. Make it safer. Make it very challenging for somebody to be able to get in illegally that has a gun. And we've got to do it. And it's a big deal to me, Sheriff, because I've got a granddaughter that's 4, a granddaughter that's 6, soon to be 7, and a grandson is 8. Their future is at stake every day, and that's what my goal is, to protect, find a way to protect them and all of those like them.
Sure.
Well, here's another thing that I suggested long before this crazy, stupid, let's be honest, it's a stupid idea that there's any such area as a gun-free zone. And I've said a gun-free zone is a killing field. In a gun-free zone, the only person that is safe in a gun-free zone is a would-be perpetrator or some law-abiding armed person. But this idea still of law-abiding people, you know, guns in schools. I mean, there are some states, I know in Wisconsin we had it, where it was forbidden for a active law enforcement officer to go pick his kid up from school armed, or, you know, let's say he keeps his duty belt somewhere in the vehicle, or he's on his way home from work. He cannot be within 1,000 feet of a school with a firearm. This stuff is crazy. So there are some common sense things that we can do to make the perpetrators think twice. From what I understand, that the Sandy Hook shooter was going to target another school, but realized that school had armed security, so then he went to Sandy Hook where there's little kids and no firearms, and created all that carnage over there. So these guys, they chase these joints. They know. The perpetrator thinks long and hard before pulling the act. They don't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to go, you know, kill 25 kids at a school. So they pick these places because of the less likely possibility that someone there will be armed and be able to stop them, including the theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado, another gun-free zone, Virginia Tech, gun-free zone. Yeah. So, you know, the idea that we're going to disarm America, first of all, is not going to happen. So let's get back to some rational thought, some rational thinking about these things, and maybe we'll be able to reduce these incidents or be in a better mode to prevent them.
Yes. Once again, we're speaking with Sheriff David Clark. He's the senior advisor and spokesman for America First Action. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, but I say constantly that the criminal mindset is always to find the easiest target, the softest target. And when you announce to the world it's a gun-free zone, it's like an invitation, if you will, for them to come there and carry out their hateful acts. And by the way, the kid who shot up that movie theater out there, in, I forget where it was, Aurora. He went to that particular movie theater because they had advertised it as a gun-free movie theater. So, once again, it's not really, when you think about it, rocket science. And then, though, you have government officials like the mayor of Oakland. Now, this is entirely something different, but nonetheless, this kind of is along the promise program thing where you have government officials, though, actually aiding and abetting illegals who are criminals and from arrest. Now, I can't understand why that mayor is not in some way in legal jeopardy, Sheriff.
Well, that mayor should be. Look, that's a criminal act. It is. It's 8 U.S.C., which is U.S. Code 1324, and it provides for criminal sanctions for people who knowingly harbor anybody in the country illegally, and that's what that mayor did. I've been pleading with the United States Department of Justice, not just with this one, Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, who's a friend of mine, but even during the Obama administration, who paid lip service to this stuff and said that they were cracking down on illegal immigration, but they weren't. But I said, we don't need new laws. We have laws on the books that can deal with this sort of thing. Look, what California is doing, declaring themselves a sanctuary state, is a violation of American sovereignty, and it is a violation of the Supremacy Clause that says the federal law trumps any state law, no pun intended.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't need a new law. The tools are there. We just need the people at the Department of Justice to have the will to go out and get an indictment against this mayor. Here's a classic case, but I think they could get an indictment against Governor Jerry Brown, who signed the bill making the sanctuary state, and anybody on the legislature. You don't need to go out and make mass arrests of public officials for this. I'm telling you right now, the first public official, mayor, governor, town council person, whatever, that gets indicted federally, and by the way, upon conviction, you can be in prison for up to 10 years in a federal prison and a $250,000 fine. The first indictment that comes down for this sort of stuff, trust me, all these other people who are talking tough now about sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, they will stop that behavior.
Sheriff, I have to take a break. We'll make it a quick one. Can you stay with us for a couple of questions on the other side?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Once again, we're speaking with Sheriff David Clark, Senior Advisor and Spokesman for America First Action. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Your I-4 slowdowns are still starting in the Lake Monroe area, continuing westbound all the way to downtown and past it. It doesn't clear up until the Lake Buena Vista area. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to right around Gotha. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area and the 408-417 exchange. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We have Sheriff David Clark, who's on the line with us, doing everything he can to help the president drain the swamp and get this country made great again. Sheriff is the senior advisor and spokesman for America First Action. And Sheriff, I'm ashamed to say last time you weren't on the show, I didn't ask you, what is America First Action? What's it all about? And can our listeners, can they be a part of it?
Well, America First Action is the official President Trump PAC, and there's two wings. There's the PAC, which obviously is raising money, in anticipation of the 2020 election, re-election of the president. And also, there's the policy end, so influencing policy, pushing public policy, promoting the president's agenda and vision for America. The president's directive is what America First Action does. And I'm also, people can go to my website, and it's dacenterprises.org. That's dacenterprises.org to find out some of the other things that I'm doing as well. But I'm doing a lot of public speaking. I'm doing writing. And I'm also the distinguished chair of American Law and Culture at the Center. I'm sorry, the Conservative Research Center, which is a D.C. think tank. So I'm very busy, but mainly, you know, defending liberty full-time. I retired as sheriff back last September so that I could do this full-time. Now it's a fight for freedom. You know, the assault that this country is under, American values, American culture is under assault by the left, and it requires people to fight full-time. So I decided to join Trump's outside army. That's what America First Action is, so I get to do that. But if they go to my website, they can find other ways they can help sign up for the newsletter that I put out every month. All you got to do, and no charge from my website, just put your email address in, and you'll automatically get the newsletter that comes out each month. But really, you know, the main thing, like I said, fighting for freedom and liberty full time, and trust me, that's a big job.
I know you're. I know you're not probably talking with the president every day, but I assume you are in touch with him. You know, we hear all this nonsense and this business about, you know, he's all angry all the time. There's all this chaos around him and everything. But then we see him give these speeches in places like Pennsylvania. We have one of our co-hosts saw him recently down in Mar-a-Lago. If you ask me, the president seems to be having a whale of a time. I think he's enjoying himself being president of the United States. Sheriff, you have any inside knowledge on that?
There's no doubt about it. Look, he's running circles around those idiots out in Washington, D.C. I say out because I happen to be on the West Coast right now. I'll be speaking in a couple days at an event. But, look, he's a businessman. He didn't come in tainted by the D.C. environment like many of the public officials who are in D.C. They've been there too long. They only know one way. They think the world revolves around Washington, D.C. Those people out there are totally disconnected from the people back home, and President Trump tapped into that when he ran for president. People who felt no longer a part of the process, that they'd been forgotten about, and the president made it very clear that he was going to put America first. He made it very clear that he was going to back the American people and do everything that is in the best interest of the American people. The conflict is that what's in the best interest of the American people is not what's in the best interest of Washington, D.C., and so that presents the conflict, but at the same time, this resistance movement is unprecedented. We've always given presidents, incoming presidents, a grace period of about a year and a half to get their government underway. It's very difficult to start up a new government from scratch when you're an incoming president. So the American people are understanding of that and give them a grace period. He's gotten no such grace period. This resistance movement has no place in our American democracy. That can be done in the legislature, in the Congress. You can debate and discuss, and you can oppose certain legislation or try to convince people that a certain policy the president might be doing is bad. That's all okay, and we go for that in our American democracy. I think dissent is healthy in a democracy, but to outright resist and block and do some of the things like declare yourself a sanctuary state is unprecedented. But guess what? This man has big shoulders. This man has the intestinal fortitude to stare these people down in Washington, D.C., and ultimately, and sometimes it's a little messy, it's a little unorthodox, but he's going to get where he wants to be on certain public policy that's going to help this country.
All right. Well, Sheriff Clark, you too have broad shoulders, and you carry a lot of weight on them, and we so appreciate you spending some time with us this afternoon, and we so look forward to doing it again. So you travel safely, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks a lot. Anytime. Be well. God bless you.
Take care, Sheriff.
Thank you, sir, and the same to you. Once again, folks, that was Sheriff David Clark. He is the senior advisor and spokesman of America First Action, and he invited you to his website, dacenterprises.org. That's dacenterprises.org, where you can sign up there and you will get in his emails and things of that nature. So please take advantage of that, and we'll be right back, and you can take advantage of the second hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a road!
It's already time for hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. Once again, in the studio with myself is Colonel Danny McKnight, the commanding general of the American Adversaries Army, which you too can be a member of by going to our website, that's AmericanAdversaries.com, and enlisting right there. You can even choose your rank. Except you can't be the commanding general. We already got one of those.
Ooh, boy, I thought I was going to get fired here for a minute.
That's right. And joining us in the studio is Nostra Dennis.
Hi there. I can't believe it. We had Sheriff David Clark in the first hour. We got Army Battalion Commander Danny McKnight here. And we got me, who fought through 20 minutes of rush hour traffic to make it to the studio. Hooray me!
All right, you got me too, Christopher Hart. And on the bridge, you got Nicholas Cicero. The number, once again, is 407-774-8255. Before we get down to some news and some other stuff, I just want to ask the Colonel, last time you were here, it was just a few days before the softball tournament over there in Palm Bay. Palm Bay.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go?
It was phenomenal.
Well, first of all, tell everybody what it was again.
It was Wounded Warrior Amputee Softball Team, and they were going to play three games, one against Sheriff Ivy, Brevard County, his team, and then there would be two other teams that were put together, my brother, who's city manager and everything. They made two more teams up.
Right.
And the weather was absolutely glorious. It couldn't have been any better for them, you know, and a lot of them came from Massachusetts, Illinois, Indiana. They were very happy to be down here, let me tell you.
I guess
so. They loved it, and I met them the night they all came in. Then the next morning, had breakfast with them, and then we go to the field.
Was it like a nine-man squad?
It's regular four players in the outfield
and
regular infield.
Ten. Left center, right center.
That's right, I forgot.
And so went to the field and everything, and they played the Sheriff's team first, and Sheriff's team beat him because Sheriff Ivy makes sure he wins everything. You know, there's no doubt about that. But anyway,
then
they won the next two games. And these young men, and they were all young men, quite often they'll have one or two females that play with them too. But this group only had the guys, and they won both the second and third game. Okay. So that was phenomenal. And then went back afterwards and had dinner. And then they wanted to see a movie, and I asked them, what movie do you want to see? They said, we want to see your movie. Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
So they showed it, but they had all seen it. What they wanted to do was, I stayed there with them till like 11 o'clock that night. It was a long day. Mm-hmm. And stayed there with them, and they stopped, would have the movie stop it, and they'd ask questions.
Like
and
a director's cut.
It was really Commander's cut. It was really fun.
But they wanted you to elaborate on what was going on at that moment in real life.
So it was,
as you said, the movie's pretty close.
Yeah, 75%. That's pretty good these days.
For really Hollywood, sure.
Yeah, it is. But they were so good. As I told you about 3 years ago, they had a softball team come down to play. They played one game in February at night. It was cold, and there was about 55 people there. There was over 750 people that were there during the day at one point or another.
That's bad.
They did it really good because they had a car show as part of the day as well.
Right.
That brings people in. Then they found out there's Wounded Warrior amputees playing softball, so that brought them right there. It was an awesome, awesome day, let me tell you. It was better than we ever imagined it would be.
And you said a couple of our listeners came out there that night.
Yes, sure did. And it was a great success. And, there were people that have heard you on American Adversaries, and this little lady came over there, and she bought a book. and it was just phenomenal. But she said, "Oh, yeah, I heard y'all on the radio, and I came over here." So Chris, it works.
All right. Well, I just want to thank all the listeners who did turn out for that, and it was a great event. I'm glad it turned out well. Okay, the president was in St. Louis today. It was a great event, you might say, and he's there primarily for a fundraiser for the Senate Republican candidate who's running against Claire McCaskill, Aunt Clara, and has a really good shot of winning. And so the president is out there. He spoke this afternoon at a factory, evidently, where they build F-18s. And he spoke there to it was in St. Louis. And a lot of people that were there, he had one of these sort of round tables with the media there live, and went around the table, and people just loving this tax cut, right? And almost everybody had something nice to say about his tax cut. But he will be in Missouri today and then back tomorrow in Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, this situation in Russia between them and the U.K. has gone from bad to worse. It could get a lot worse, but the U.K. has expelled 23 Russian diplomats/spies out of Britain, and also put an economic squeeze on Russia and some individuals. And it has to do with the poisoning of this former Russian official and his daughter in England. And then, if I'm not mistaken, there was another one since then. And that's what made Theresa May stand up and shall we say channel a little bit of Maggie Thatcher and you know,
just a little bit. She's still Theresa May, but she got a little bit of moxie in her.
Yeah, but now that the ball is back in Putin's court, so we shall see what he may or may not do about this. And then, of course, this is on top of all the allegations of Russia meddling in elections and all that sort of thing, which they're supposed to be doing now. And I would have to think that if they weren't doing it, that they're not up to snuff over there at the KGB or whatever they call it now. I mean, that's kind of why they're there, right? And that's why we do the same thing. But when you get into, you know, murdering people in foreign countries, not your own, it's one thing, you know, to assassinate somebody, in Moscow. But when you do it in London, that's a different thing. But I don't mean to make light of it. But nonetheless, it is a situation that at least temporarily is escalating, seems to be escalating. Larry Kudlow has been named the economic advisor to replace Gary Cohen. And Larry Kudlow is a very well-known face if you watch CNBC, not MSNBC, but CNBC. That's the business version where they have the stock, ticker going all the time and everything. Kudlow's been a regular on there. He was also an advisor to the president on his tax plan. Not an official advisor in the administration, but from outside the administration. And he now is going to take over. And he doesn't like tariffs. And he's been very clear about that. And he has been very outspoken over the last week or so that he wished the president hadn't done that and wish he would reconsider. So for anybody who thinks that the president doesn't look for varying and differing opinions from his own, isn't quite accurate. We'll see how that works out. They both know each other from New York. So they have some background outside of Kudlow, you know, advising him on a tax plan. So perhaps that friendship, if you could say it is that, will benefit the president and Kudlow's advice. And the attorney general appears ready to fire Andrew McCabe. Now, McCabe is the FBI who was the assistant director under Comey and then was the temporary director when Comey got fired. And then he decided to go on vacation and he was going to retire this month when it came out that when those texts came out about Strzok, his assistant, and Lisa Page, his lawyer, his FBI lawyer in the offices there, having an affair, and that the three of them were colluding to defeat President Trump and using the dossier and all of that. And then recently it came out that McCabe was one of the sources of leaks. And what's interesting is that evidently Sessions is looking for a way to fire him, and it's, once again, it's very difficult, but if he can show that McCabe broke the law by leaking and therefore fire him, well, what does that say about lying, leaking, thieving Jim Comey? And now we know John Clapper was a leaker too, former CIA director. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have, who am I missing here? I know I'm missing somebody else. But nonetheless, this begins to show Sessions is not totally out of the game, shall we say. He may be playing on the periphery, but he is trying to do something out there. We'll see what happens with that.
Or it could be a matter of timing. Trump could be asking his attorney general, okay, let's wait till now to put this stuff out. Because you know nothing that Trump does. He's an organized maniac. He's going in seven directions at once. But he knows the next six directions he's going in way ahead of time.
Right, yeah. His mind is just, you know, way ahead. As Sheriff Clark said earlier, he's running circles around these jokers, right?
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking is perhaps now rethinking some of his theories. He has died today at the age of 76. And he's got to go down in the record books as the person to survive the longest with ALS. You know, we just lost Tim Nichols.
Yes.
He had ALS.
Yes, my good friend, Carrie Briner, who worked for ABC. He went to school with me and with my wife. He just passed at age 56.
How long did he had after he had been diagnosed?
Only about 4 years.
Yeah, and with Tim, I think it was only about two.
Yeah.
And this guy had it, 30 years or so? Yep, more than that. He got it as a young man.
I mean, when I saw him, I mean, it was like forever since... He got that exactly, you know, a long time ago. Exactly right.
Right. Any reports of any words that he might have said on his deathbed, like, I take it all back, Lord Jesus, God, save me.
Well, I have this smarty cartoon here that I'm going to clean up for air.
All right.
It's a little picture of him in his wheelchair, sitting on clouds with a little escalator going straight up to heaven. And he's saying, oh, man. Because he was an avowed atheist. He did not think God was real at all.
And that's what I'm wondering, if he's rethinking some of those theories right about now. All right, we're going to take a break right about now. When we come back, we got Pete on the line. I want to take his phone call because he's going in the direction I'm going to go next, which is this Pennsylvania election from last night, which evidently still isn't over. So stick around. The counting, anyway. Stick around for more of the American Adversaries. Pete, stay with us. We'll get right to you. And folks, if you'd like to be a part of the show, too, you can call us at 407-774-8255.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Springtime is here. That means it's time for the 34th annual All British Car Show. Join the Central Florida British Car Club Friday, April 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Fiddler's Green in beautiful Winter Park for a pre-show and meet and greet. And on Saturday, April 7th at 9 a.m. in Mead Gardens in Winter Park for the car show and judging. Along with up to 200 British cars, there will be specialty vendors, raffles, silent auction, and valve cover racing. Four Rivers, Jeremiah's, and Tijuana Flats will be there, and admission is free. It's fun for the whole family, so experience a day of British automotive history in picturesque Mead Gardens, April 7th. For more information, email info@allbritishcarclub.com. That's info@allbritishcarclub.com, a member of the British American Chamber of Commerce.
Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama cruises from $249 per person. Or how about a 7-night Alaska cruise from $649 per person? On Celebrity Cruises, book a balcony or higher on a 7-night select Caribbean, Europe, or Alaska sailings and receive specialty dinner for two. Get free prepaid gratuities on select sailings with Oceana Cruises. Sandals and Beaches all-inclusive resorts are up to 65% off. Get free prepaid gratuities on select Avalon Waterways River Cruises.
Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Your I-4 slowdowns are still starting in the Lake Monroe area, continuing westbound all the way to downtown and past it. It doesn't clear up until the Lake Buena Vista area. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to right around Gotha. 408 eastbound is congested in the Azalea Park area and the 408-417 exchange. I'm Dwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to the American Adversaries. Let's go to Pete on the line. He's been patiently waiting. Pete, thanks for doing that. We appreciate your being there tonight. Go ahead.
Did we lose Pete?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Did we?
Maybe. Maybe right. He wasn't so patient
anyway,
after all.
We're going to talk about the Pennsylvania election, which evidently the counting is still going on, and the Democrat, Lamb, has a slim, slim lead by the hair of his chinny chin chin. And they're waiting for the absentee ballots to come in, and they are, I guess they also have some military ballots to come in, but unless there's some real lopsided, turnout with these ballots, it looks like Lamb is going to win.
Yeah, well, some people are waiting. Lamb himself already announced he thanked his campaign for helping lead him to victory.
Last night, yeah.
About 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But they're still counting. There are still absentee ballots. There are still provisional ballots, and there are still military ballots. Now, in a district that size, I'm not sure how many hundreds of ballots that is. But the numbers have been stuck since about noon today at this. Conor Lamb, the Democrat, 113,813 votes. That's 49.8%. Rick Saccone, the Republican, 113,186. That's 49.6. That's a 2.2% difference between the two.
That's 600-something different votes, isn't
it? Yep. There is also a Libertarian in the mix.
Right.
Drew Miller. Got 1,379 votes, so that 0.6 is bigger than the difference between the Republican and the Democrat.
Right, but you can't assume that they would all break one way or the other.
No,
there would be
not.
Some percentage. But unless, once again, these votes that are coming in are more lopsided than what has already transpired, it looks like Lamb is going to win by the skin of his teeth. But once again, he ran on Trump's agenda in a big union area there.
Mm-hmm. And he came out pro-NRA.
Right.
He came out complimenting Trump on a lot of the things he'd been doing.
Tax cut, tariffs, mm-hmm. Bringing jobs back to America, manufacturing jobs, steel industry, coal. It was a Democrat version of the Trump, the message, if you will. It's the Trump effect, right? And it appears to have gotten him elected. And plus, he was young. He's a fresh kid, fresh face.
He's a handsome guy.
Yep. He's a former Marine, and he's well-spoken. And Saccone is a state legislator. He's not an incumbent or anything. He's a state legislator, so he had some name recognition. Plus, the Democrats themselves pumped about $20 million into that race. And once again, let's assume that by the end of this month, they have it decided. So he'll have, we're in March, so he'll have April, May, June, July, August, September, and October, what, about 8 months? And then they are up for election again.
That's right, except the seat is not going to exist.
As it is now.
If the state redistricting goes through.
Right. There'll still be a Pennsylvania 18th, but it'll look much different than this.
Right.
And neither one of these guys will be in it.
Right, because 18 is going to be split basically in two, and it's going to be turned into, they're both going to be adjoining the districts next to them.
And Saccone will be living in a different district, and Lamb
and so
will be living in a different district even from Saccone.
So they could theoretically both still run for Congress this fall and both win.
And both win.
Or both lose.
Or both lose.
So this is just a temporary thing that we're playing with right now.
Right. And Connor is one of the most conservative Democrats because of the district he's in.
Right.
And Lamb from... Lamb is
Connor
what
Lamb.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, Connor Lamb.
And Saccone, from everything I've read, really didn't run a very good campaign. He spent money, but he really didn't. He kind of acted like Hillary did in the presidential campaign. He figured, we got this.
Yeah.
We're 20 points ahead. We got this.
He didn't work as hard as Lamb.
No, and what have you been saying? What do the Republicans have to do? Can't take the foot off the gas pedal.
That's right.
You have to keep on pushing, keep on pumping, keep on working. And, Connor Lamb may not agree with everything that a Republican agrees with, but you know what? You have to give him props for putting together a strong campaign.
Exactly.
And something you just said, though, that got my attention very quickly is he's a former Marine.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things that we talked about earlier that he was doing that were like Trump things, maybe there's a connection there, because maybe he says, I'm a Democrat, but I believe the way I believe, and everything you described was exactly the way you and I would believe.
Right.
That's funny,
because he was doing.
There's a quote here from him saying he was Trump before Trump was Trump.
Politically I don't know
speaking.
About that. He's a lot younger than Trump, and Trump's been Trump a long time.
He's boasting about it, though.
But it shows, once again, the cleverness of the fact that he, for lack of a better word, co-opted the Trump message, made it his own, and it rode the wave of the Trump effect.
And in a lot of states where Trump won, especially the surprising states, a lot of smart politicians may try to do the same thing.
If they're smart, they will. And on both sides of the aisle.
Now, there is going to be some kind of challenge, because the National Republican Committee has said they are going to lodge a request for a recount.
I would say in most states, that, or at least in the state of Florida, that margin of victory is so small it would automatically trigger a recount.
In this case, though, if it's 0.5% or less, it's an automatic recount if it's a statewide office. So if this were a governor race, a Senate race, an attorney general race,
I see what you're saying.
Since it's a single district, it's not automatic. One or the other campaign has to request it. But here's what they got to do.
I see.
They have to go to each precinct. There are several hundred precincts in this district.
Yeah, I think
they
about
have to get three registered voters from each of those districts to sign an affidavit saying, I want to see a recount.
Yeah, that's probably just
that's going to take a while to do, and they have 6 days to do it.
All right. Okay, anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we got some more things to talk about. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Don't forget, please like us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Chris Hart Radio on Twitter. And we will be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump faces new pressure to ramp up his response to Russia after British Prime Minister Theresa May punished Moscow for the poisoning of a former spy. The White House has said Mr. Trump agrees with May on the need for consequences, but has not specified any looming U.S. actions. The latest Russian provocations come at a time of uncertainty over the trajectory of American foreign policy, after President Trump fired his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. Toys R Us management has told its employees that it will sell or close all of its U.S. stores. That's according to a toy industry analyst who spoke to several employees who were on the call Wednesday. Jim Silver, a toy industry expert, says Toys R Us CEO told employees the plan is to liquidate all of its U.S. stores, and after that it could do a deal with its Canadian operation to run some of its U.S. stores. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano.
It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. And remember to enter the free drawing for a Human Touch iJoy massage chair. It's amazing how lifelike these chairs feel. Learn more, visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries, if you can take it.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for being out there. That's right, we're coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. And when you're out and about, driving around in your car, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish I could get myself a new car, head on over to the great folks at Sutherland Nissan and let them show you around the lot there and check out all those great Nissans they got over there. Brand new ones, pre-owned ones. And, you know, getting ready to have the new model year, so you're now going to have the previous model year. You know, they always do that, like 8 months before the end of the year, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, but anyway, all that's going on over there at Sutherland Nissan. That's at East Colonial Drive and Chickasaw Trail. You can go to their website at OrlandoNissan.com, OrlandoNissan.com. And one of the cool things about it is when you take a test drive in one of their cars, you'll come away with a $25 gift card, all right, whether you buy anything or not. And if you buy something, well, you got $25 worth of gas you can stick in the doggone thing, right? So anyway, head on over to Sutherland Nissan and check out their Titan trucks. And don't forget to tell them the Titans of Talk Radio, the American Adversaries, sent you their way.
Did they name the truck after you?
I think they were there first on that one.
Hmm. Well, it's big and impressive and full of gas.
That's me, all right. Except maybe the big part. Maybe the impressive part, too. All right, anyway, thank. I know I'm full of gas, all right, yeah, for yeah. sure. All right, that's Nostradamus. I'm Christopher Hart, and in the studio with us is Colonel Danny McKnight. And once again, he's the author of the excellent book, Streets of Mogadishu. You know, you got graduation season coming up. This would be a great book to give to that high school grad or middle school grad as they move on to the next level, because a lot of the book is about leadership and what it means to have and recognize and utilize leadership skills. And then the book is also an account of the Mogadishu mission and how political incorrectness pretty much kind of, I don't want to say doomed it, because you guys really were successful and would have been even more successful had the idiots in the White House at that time allowed you to do your job. But they did hamstring you.
Yeah, well, they took stuff away from us.
That's what I mean, yeah.
We planned for 551, train ready to go, and then, 5 days before we leave, we're told that it's only 450. And then, did you ever see the AC-130 over there? Nope.
Right.
So even at that, you got the job done.
We did. We did what we were supposed to do that day.
Yeah, but it was a lot more difficult and a lot more casualties than needed be. And that's the cost of political incorrectness, or what we call political incorrectness, what they call political correctness.
Yeah.
And Clinton didn't want to have a big footprint, didn't want to appear like we were invading the country, like, you know, having the whole complement was going to, change things in that sense.
Yeah.
And
well,
Colonel, I'll bet you had a good big footprint for the president.
Oh, yes.
Right. Yeah, I know where you would like to have put that footprint.
Yeah. But the political correctness on the front of the book is political correctness at its worst.
At its worst.
For a reason, because that's exactly what it was.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I want to go back quickly to this Pennsylvania election, because there is something that we can learn from this, that we all can learn from this, and it's very important. It's something that we've already kind of been talking about on the show. First of all, do you have the numbers of the turnout?
Yeah, on the total numbers of the turnout by party, I don't have. But I do know that broken out between Republican and Democrat, compared with the 2016 presidential results, the Republican vote in that district went down by 30%. The Democratic vote only went down by 6%.
And that's the difference there.
So it's not that Republicans were voting for the Democrat. It's that fewer Republicans were showing up to vote for their guy.
And
that's not unique. That happened in the Virginia race last year. It happened in Alabama with the Doug Jones upset.
Right.
It happened in Kansas, South Carolina, Montana, Georgia. In average, the Republican vote has gone down close to 50% from what it did for Trump. And the Democratic vote has gone down between 8 and 10%.
All right. And one of the goals that we have this year is to keep you folks motivated so that you'll get out and vote. And hopefully we're going to have some good candidates to vote for. But the bottom line is, you're going to have to look at this election as the candidates that are with Trump. So what we're really voting for, again, even though it's 2018, is we're voting for Trump. We're voting for his agenda. And if you look at what happened in Pennsylvania, you had a whole lot of Democrats that came out and voted for Trump's agenda.
That's right.
So, the desire for the Trump agenda is there. Unfortunately, the Democrats are probably maybe learning the lesson from this, and that is that, as Dennis said earlier, more and more of them should do what this guy did.
Yeah, they're co-opting the message, and they're doing it successfully.
Right. And so the Republicans better be prepared for that. They better be on their game. They better be better than that. And we got to be there and motivated to help them along the way. And maybe helping them might maybe kicking them in the butt. But the bottom line is, this election is as much about Donald Trump as 2020 will be. Because if he doesn't get the help that he needs, or if the House is flipped somehow, that's going to stall things. I don't think they'll be successful impeaching him, but what they will do is they will stall things. And that we're on a roll, and we owe it to ourselves and this president because he's trying so hard and giving up a lot to be the president, that we need to be there for him. And so we'll try to buck those numbers. Now, you also have to remember, too, that this is an off year, an off time.
Right. Special election in March is a strange election to get people out in.
Right.
But one side came out much, much more than the other. You would think it to be brought down on both sides equally.
Right. And I guarantee you, if Trump hadn't gone out there Saturday night and gave that Barnes burner of a speech, it wouldn't be close.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be waiting for these other handful of ballots to be counted because the margin would have been larger.
Well, going in, there were polls on both sides. There were polls saying Saccone was going to win. There were polls saying Lamb was going to win. They were about neck and neck going in.
All right. And they're neck and neck coming out, too.
Yeah.
So once again, we'll continue to keep track of that. In the meantime, Rand Paul has come out in opposition to President Trump's nominees to replace Rex Tillerson and to replace Mike Pompeo, since Mike Pompeo is going to replace Rex Tillerson. He has, once again, nominated Pompeo to be the next Secretary of State, and then nominated Pompeo's assistant director, Gina, I've got her name right here. Haspel, Gina Haspel, to be the director of the CIA. Rand Paul is making a lot of noise about this, and so did John McCain, and there's a few Democrats making some noise about this, too, in particular having to do with Haspel. And it has to do with enhanced interrogation techniques. I reported on the show last night, Haspel is a 30-plus year career CIA operative. I think she started out as an analyst, and then she became part of the black prison program, and that was these were detention areas that the CIA was utilizing in other countries, which the Clinton administration, by the way, authorized because they had stopped the CIA from doing it in the detention facilities that we had, right? So they didn't want them bringing the bad guys to where the CIA would normally bring them to us, but they didn't want them let go, so we were sending the bad guys to Poland. I think we had a facility there. I know we had a facility in Egypt, Saudi Arabia. And, of course, we would put the inmates in the host country's custody, right? And then
our hands are clean.
Right. And our CIA agents would be there sort of as observers. And here's a suggested question. We'll leave it up to you how you get the answer, right? And you can imagine what they'd do in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
And she worked at one, I believe it was in Asia somewhere, where they took Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and waterboarded him. And she was part of that. And evidently she even was known for taunting, some of these guys, to get them to break. And so there's going to be some opposition. And part of Rand Paul's argument, and John McCain has said this too, and why John McCain would say this, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I mean. But their argument is we shouldn't be doing this because we don't want to subject our military guys and gals. We don't want them to be subjected to this should they be captured. So your thoughts on it to begin with.
I don't think you should compare the two things, okay? What we're going to do and worry about what they are going to do.
Right.
Okay?
That's the bottom line point.
You shouldn't, that should not be what we're going to decide, okay? I believe that waterboarding has been done, as we know, in the past. I believe that it works very well, okay? Is it kind and gentle? No, but that's because you're dealing with a bad person. So you shouldn't be kind and gentle, to be honest about it. Does that mean that maybe we might have somebody that gets, captured, becomes a prisoner, and that won't be new either?
Right.
It's been done before to our people.
And will other countries not do it because we haven't done it?
Well, John McCain is a perfect example. You need not look further than Vietnam. You can go back to World War II if you want, but let's look at Vietnam, okay? We had prisoners of war in Vietnam.
Yep.
What did they do to them? They beat the hell out of them.
That's exactly
right. Just look
right.
at John McCain. He can't raise one arm
That's
over
right.
his shoulder because he got beat so bad.
Yes.
And you can see his face is kind of disfigured a little
yeah.
bit. And the but we didn't torture the Vietnamese prisoners.
We're the kindest, gentlest people in the world.
Right.
In all honesty. I mean, we really are.
And they're not going to care whether we're doing it or not.
Yeah.
They're going to be brutal. They're going to do what they're going to do. And that's just the reality of war. And so to think that, you know, if we play nice, that is somehow going to make it better for our troops when they're captured?
No.
No way.
Mm-mm.
No, not a chance.
Nope, exactly. And they're going to hold that against this lady who for years really protected our country doing what she did.
Exactly.
And they're going to, you know, well, that shows how stupid Rand Paul is. And unfortunately, it shows that John McCain has lost touch with some of the things that he had to deal with himself.
Yeah.
Just like you just said. And we need to stay on track.
Yeah. You would think that he, of all people, would understand that his captors didn't give a damn what we did with their prisoners. Right? Yeah. They were going to do what they were going to do to him and the other fellow prisoners there at the Hanoi Hilton, regardless.
Yeah. Do these people think that we didn't have prisoners that were killed
yep.
through torture?
Yep.
I mean, do they really believe that that didn't happen? It did happen.
And it will continue to happen in future conflicts should, you know, they
That's
unfortunately
right.
get captured by the I mean, it's even Bo Bergdahl, for God's sake, said that they kept him in a cage and mistreated him. He didn't look like it when he came out, right?
But he still needs to be in a cage.
Right. He sure does. But, you know, and he was, you know, treated with kit gloves.
Yeah.
And they still mistreated the. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that this nominee should be held up because of some standard that no opponent of ours is ever going to live by is just really naive.
It is.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got another segment to go. Don't forget, you got Larry Elder following us up, and he's always got some great things to talk about. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries and then some more radio right here tonight on these very stations.
FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Thanks for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Noster Dennis just stumbled across some, well, sad news here.
Yeah, I was looking up some stuff about Grant Malloy because we're going to be giving you some information on how you can meet both he, the Seminole County Clerk and Controller, and the Seminole Tax Collector, Joel Greenberg, later on this week. But I found out that the previous clerk of court of Seminole, who actually endorsed Grant before she retired, Marianne Morris, passed away over the weekend.
That's very sad. Yeah, she was a big supporter of Grant Malloy's from the very start.
Met her at one of his fundraisers. What a sweet lady. And apparently no one who worked for her seemed to have a bad word to say about her.
That says
a lot, especially in government work.
Yeah, it is. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell folks how they can meet up with Grant and Joel Greenberg.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Thursday night, March 15th, over at the Eastmont Civic Center. If you've ever been there, that's on Ronald Reagan Boulevard, just south of 436, right by the railroad tracks.
Yep.
It's near the ball fields. You head on down Ronald Reagan. You make a right when you see the ball fields. It's at 7 p.m. Thursday night. It's free. It's open to the public. You can meet two of your local elected officials, Grant Malloy, Seminole County Clerk and Comptroller. Grant's going to be on the show this week, too?
Friday, yeah.
Good. As well as Seminole Tax Collector Joel Greenberg. So the people who both collect and take care and are stewards of your tax dollars are going to be there. They'll be answering questions. They'll be explaining what they do. And I'm sure Grant will be talking about what he does and what the Seminole County Commissioners don't want him to keep on doing.
That's for sure. Okay, let's go to Bo on the line. Bo, how you doing tonight?
Doing fine, Chris. Karma Knight, Nostradamus. In response to the Pennsylvania election, I'm a-thinking on the porch. Now, if I'm a Democrat and want to win my next election, whether or not I believe it or not, all I have to do is agree with President Trump's agenda, and I'll win. That's all I have to do. Just a thought. What do you think?
I think that's what happened last night in Pennsylvania with this guy, Connor Lamb. He certainly was, how did he put it? He was
Trump before Trump was Trump, says he.
Says he, yeah.
Now, I don't think, Bo, that's going to be true in every district, especially for incumbents.
Yeah.
But if a new, fresh face comes out and says, yeah, I'm a Democrat, but, well, that could take them a very long way.
Yeah, and definitely it could. So we shall see what happens. And the whole idea, though, is we want to counter whatever the Democrats are doing, but we have to have the voters out there to do it. So, once again, that's part of our objective. And that's the objective, by the way, of the Trump 2020 Club. Now, I know it's called the Trump 2020 Club, and the ultimate goal is to get the president reelected in 2020. But the sub-goal, you might say, plan B, or the more immediate task is to get him more help in the 2018 elections. So we're going to be very active in trying to get these candidates, get the right candidates in there, and then get them elected so that they can help the president. And once again, it's all about getting his agenda passed, making America great again, and we're off to a great start. We've got a lot more work to do, though, but it's doable. And I think, you know, as people feel more and more the effects of the tax cuts and things like that, it's once again, it's just a matter of getting up and getting out and voting. And that's pretty much the bottom line. But once again, Colonel Danny McKnight has written an excellent book, Streets of Mogadishu. You can get it at his website. That's DannyMcKnight.com. And you just had to get a reprinting or something like that, didn't you, out of the book? You just like passed a milestone.
We just had 400 more being printed right now. As a matter of fact,
right?
Because I went through 200 and 200 so quickly, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But according to my publisher, he said we're approaching 40,000 sales. So that amazes me.
Soon, they will be hot off the presses, literally.
That's right, literally. But the good part is the part that we have created with our Wounded Warrior fund that we now still support the Wounded Warriors with that. We don't do it to the Wounded Warrior Project. We do it to the ones we want to make sure need it and get it. And that's been a blessing beyond our wildest dreams.
So part of the proceeds of every book sale goes to help these particular Wounded Warrior efforts, not the Wounded Warrior Project, but these smaller efforts that actually the money goes directly to the military.
And Homes for Our Troops is one of the big ones to me, because when they build that home And we're going to be in Tallahassee next month, I guess it is. FSU's military ball up there. Their ROTC military ball.
Okay.
And when we leave the next morning, we're going to Groveland, where they're having a Homes for a Troops opening for a young man.
That's when
there.
You see the tangible results of that kind of giving.
Yep. And
great
we're just going to show up, you know, to be there.
Now, this Saturday morning? You have to muster out at about 4 o'clock in the morning or
1:30?
1:30.
Oh,
you're just going to stay up the whole night, I guess, right?
Exactly what I do. That's exactly what I'll do.
I've done it before. Tell everybody why.
It's the Honor Flight program,
and this is
the first one for this year.
Space Coast Honor Flight.
Space Coast Honor Flight, exactly. And I said, yep, I just got to go. So I'm going to go to 1:30 is when they start gathering. So I get there by 2, and then by 3:30, they get ready to get on the buses to go to Orlando. And then Linda usually likes to go to when they come in.
OIA.
She loves to do that, her and my stepdaughter, Katie. So there's a good chance I told them, I'll get the front end, but y'all got to do the back end because I can't do both of them, okay?
Two nights in a row.
But, that program, this is the first one of the year. So,
And that's Saturday?
This Saturday.
Spending St. Patrick's Day with a whole bunch of veterans.
Yep.
Nice.
Hard to beat, isn't it?
It's really hard to beat.
Yep. I'll get to meet them all then and everything. It's just great. Just love doing it.
All right.
All right, Colonel, I know you're here, and it's very fortuitous that you're here because I have this touching story.
I call it
story.
Divine intervention.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a story about a guy from the Army. In 1942, Herman James, a man from North Carolina, an old Salt Mountain man, was drafted by the Army. On his first day in basic training, the Army issued him a comb. That afternoon, the Army barber shaved off all his hair. The next morning, the Army issued Herman a toothbrush. That afternoon, the Army dentist yanked 3 of his teeth. On the third day, the Army issued him a jockstrap. The Army's been looking for Herman James now for 76 years.
Oh, yes. We missed you, Nostradamus.
Good to be back. Good to be back, folks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget Larry Elder follows us up right now. 7 o'clock, and you can also follow us on Facebook, Kathy Santomassino. By the way, yesterday's perv of the day went to Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
Right? For ignoring allegations of abuse for years.
Right.
And so all that kind of stuff you'll find on our Facebook page.
Oh,
that's
also,
American Adversaries.
Also on our Facebook page, I put up a video I found from CRTV. Nate Madden is the correspondent. Describing and detailing what an AR-15 really is.
All right.
Most of the mainstream media should probably watch this, but they won't. But you will, because you listen to the American Adversaries.
All right, that's American Adversaries on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio. Of course, our website is AmericanAdversaries.com. And when you're there, don't forget to check out all the great ads for our sponsors. Click on that Relax and Comfort ad, and it'll take you to their website where you can register for a drawing for a free iJoy massage chair. Somebody out there, one of our listeners, is going to win that doggone thing. I hope it's you. Night, everybody.